Blog Talk Radio.
Tears don't dry as another baby cries. Pass me on the street with your head held high. The rich get richer, poor, poor ass why. But you blame it on the parents when they barely get by. Quarter minutes is you barely notice the eye. Look up so unethics on you and you wonder why we die. Drugs taking feelings, but you lock away the dealer. And give them more time than you just to pay the failure. Tension lines up, more gangs and more killers. Leave the innocent people to fight that y'all don't ever. And wonder why these young men beat up on their women. Why they get a job, so Jesus convicted felon. Back on the drone war, babies having babies. You just a baby yourself, and you supposed to raise a lady. Fathers walk out, no more commitment and dedication. As a citizen, seek for prom to graduation. And the woman take it out, struggle to put food in their mouth. Keep sitting in your white house, put your children future planned out. Get a little nervous when we knocking on the door. Makes me believe they don't love us anymore. So I just say to make it sing. I think it's time we build up. Make a fuss on the crooked ones, never straighten up the statement that I'm making up. The seconds we've been down on luck, letting people win off, but we know that we can never trust. And they just do a fuck with fuck, and the truth of the matter is, but what about us?
Welcome to Make You Think Radio. It is Wednesday, the second to last day of the week for us. And truthfully, probably to date, one of the most important shows that we've ever done. This show tonight is about child abuse and the fact that it goes so unnoticed and quite honestly so ignored in this nation. You know, we've seen a lot of news stories lately. One of the biggest stories, you know, as of late being the man or the thing that left his child in the car seat to die while he was at work. And whether that was because he wanted to be with other women, whether it was because him and his wife plotted, whatever it was, okay, you know, it was a horrible story. But the fact of the matter is that for every one story that makes the news, there are hundreds upon hundreds of stories that are never told. And what we're going to talk about tonight is not only the fact that it's ignored, but it's time for everyone who listens to this show, everyone across America, to ask yourself an honest question. How often have you suspected or even known about a child that wasn't being cared for properly and not picked up the phone because you didn't want to get involved or you don't want to be a troublemaker or you didn't want to be one of those people? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not big on snitching in the sense of the word, okay? I don't believe if a guy's outside smoking weed or if you know someone who sells drugs or whatever it may be that you should be so worried about it that you have to run and pick up the phone. But what we're talking about tonight is not grown people making conscious decisions. We're not talking about somebody who's printing counterfeit money in the basement and you don't want to turn them in or evading their taxes. We're talking about children. Many of you which have children. Just look at your child for a second, and I did this morning with my son before I left the house, and I wanted to get a feel for before I did this show tonight. And what I envisioned was if somebody harmed him. Just that thought of what it would be like if somebody harmed him coming over me. I have to tell you the truth, I don't think I could shake it all day. Put me in a bad mood for the whole day. There was no truth to it. Something I created in my head just to get a feel, and I couldn't shake it. And I have to tell you something. Not only is the system broke, but it's time for us to stop looking at abuse just as something that occurs in a physical sense. Now, I'm going to share a little something with you, and people who grew up with me know it, but I put this in my latest book, which is about me and my son's relationship. And I have to tell you, not only myself, but many members of my family, from siblings to cousins, were abused. And for all that I've talked about with my mom, the fact of the matter is that there were several years where she was verbally abusive and neglectful. these are also forms of child abuse. There's a lot of forms of child abuse, folks. It's not all physical. Now, look, physical obviously is the one that we hear about. It's the one we see. It's usually the one that results in the immediate death or injury. But when I come back, we're going to start talking about abuse. And it's not just about a kid getting punched in the head or hit with a belt or thrown down a flight of stairs. There are a lot of different types of abuses. And a lot of you know somebody right now that's going to fit this criteria. And I'm hoping that when you get off of the radio and you turn this off, after you've talked or whatever you're going to do, had your glass of wine or got ready for tomorrow, that you'll start thinking about picking up the phone and getting involved. Because I'll tell you this, if you suspect child abuse and you're not picking up the phone and that child dies, in my opinion, you should be sitting right next to the parent on trial. I'll be back right after this. Back live on Make You Think Radio. Tonight's topic and what we're talking about is child abuse and the fact that it goes so ignored in this country. And quite honestly, the fact that I don't think as a nation that we've come to grips or learned how to deal with it. You know, child abuse is not just something that happens in poor houses. It's not just something that happens in poor communities. It's not just something in poor areas. Child abuse happens on many different fronts. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is long overdue that we start paying more attention to what's going on. Because not just about the kid that was in the car seat. Okay? That's a horrible, horrible, horrible scenario. But it's one of many. So whenever we talk about child abuse, one of the first things that I notice is in what we hear most of the time is about the physical sense, right? Hit the kid, threw the kid, tossed the kid, whatever it may be. Horrible. Horrible. No question about it. Horrible. And by far, it is the thing that catches most people's attention. But there's many types of abuses, okay? And one of the worst type of abuses that's out there that people do to their children is verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is more powerful than the fist. I have to tell you, my entire time growing up, my mother was abusive and neglectful. I don't think anything hurt more than when my mother would tell me I was a failure, that I reminded her of my father, that I was never going to be anything. And when I was young, I mean, this is when I was 10, 11, 9, okay, and it was usually accompanied by some slaps or what have you. But the slaps went away. I remembered, and still do today, I can hear it in my head like it was yesterday. And I got to be honest, most of us have met or know somebody who fits this criteria. Okay, some of you make the mistake of doing it yourself, and that's not to say that you're abusing your child, but I got to tell you something. We're not talking about the getting mad and telling a kid, I'm very disappointed in you, you know, you're not acting right. No, 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 we're not talking about that. We're talking about the downright insulting, talking to a child like it's worthless, saying things in front of a child that should never be said. It is a form of abuse. It is horrible. It is something that you cannot take back. And the wounds do not heal. Okay? They may soften. They never go away. I'm 40 years old. It burnt like a fire in me to prove my mother wrong to this day, whether she meant it or not. Another type of abuse is just straight neglect. You know, one of the things that I remember is from the time I was 12 on, I rarely remember, maybe 13, my mother cooking a meal, washing my clothes on a regular basis, making sure that dishes were clean or the house was clean. Didn't happen. And what I vividly remember is the fact that people would come over, okay, family members, people would come over. And at that time, my cousins and siblings went through the same things. But my cousins, okay, my aunt, it wasn't until situation got out of hand that any of them were removed. For me, it was an entirely different set of circumstances. It never went away. And with all that neglect going on, I would act out naturally as a human being. Yet, nobody ever picked up the phone. Nobody ever did anything. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if I would have came to school with bruises or punches in my or black eyes, people would have looked at it like I was abused. But you have to ask yourself, okay, if you're seeing a child or you know a child, okay, and we've all seen them when he comes to school or she comes to school, and it's obvious that their parents aren't taking care of them, what other word do you use for that other than abuse? Okay, because physical abuse is obvious most of the time. Not all the time. But most of the time. But what's really obvious is neglect. It doesn't take long to look at a kid and realize that they're being neglected, that they're not being taken care of. Okay? Verbal's a little different. Maybe you don't hear what goes on behind closed doors. This is horrible. It's a direct form of abuse, but maybe it's a little different. And one of the things that abusers do, that abusive parents do, is they use fear tactics. Now, I'm not talking about fear tactics in the sense of you're grounded or you know, if you do it again, I'm going to take away your Minecraft. Or today, you know, if your kid's 10 or older, you threaten to take away their cell phone. But I'm talking about fear tactics. You know, where they're telling a kid, you know, if you want to tell, go ahead. They'll take you away. They'll put you in jail. They'll take you away from your family. The abuser uses the system, okay, uses the system that's supposed to protect the child to scare them into going to that system. And we'll go into the system a little later on in the show, because I'm sure as hell not telling you that's a work of art. There ain't no Mona Lisa over there. But having said that, there is a system in place. How good it is a different story, and we'll debate that tonight. But what happens is these fear tactics are a form of abuse. And it shows later on in life. And when we go into some of the statistics tonight, and we will, a lot of you are going to be surprised. But one of the things that jumps out to me is how often we see things like this, but we don't correlate it with abuse. Okay, we use words like they don't take care of their kids, they don't wash their kids' clothes, they let their kids do whatever they want. Right now, if you saw the person beating the kid down with a cinder block, you would call the police. But in a situation where any of this is going on, we use all these other terms. We don't use the term abuse. Abuse is never used. Right? Kid comes to school dirty, what do we say? Oh, the parent, they don't care how the kid looks, this and that, blah, blah, blah. We hear them calling the kid stupid or you're an idiot. They shouldn't talk to their kid like that. I can't believe they would talk to their kid like that, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Kid's not eating. Whatever it may be, we just don't use those words. But they come across in Kung Fu to kick a kid in the side of the neck. Everybody wants to call 911, and they should. I'm not saying that to be funny. Not in any stretch of the imagination, but what I'm saying is that it's not the only form of abuse. And it's time to start calling abuse, abuse. Stop all these politically correct terms, okay? Either you care for your child or you don't, and if you don't, you're an abuser. Okay? Bad actions are a form of abuse. They're a form of abuse. You know, screaming and yelling and arguing in front of the kids. Trying to turn the kid on another parent, or for those of you that are divorced or split up, trying to convince them that daddy or mommy are no good. That's abuse. You're damaging your child. The person that's doing that is damaging the child. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. Nothing was more damaging to me as a child, other than not having a father, than the verbal abuse, and at one point, the constant bickering in my family. Kids need security. They need peace. They need to feel safe in their own home. They need to feel a sense of love. You start taking those things out of the equation, not only is it abuse, but it is detrimental to everything that that child is going to be. And a lot of you out there listening right now are saying, oh, well, I don't know about that. You know, my parents argued this. No, we're not talking about little arguments, okay? We're talking about constant arguing all the time. My mother, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles would argue for hours and curse at each other and say insulting things. And I don't want to hear, well, you know, I'm not the one who starts it. No, bullshit. If you're a parent, you have a responsibility. I don't put anything before my kids. I have said this 5 million times. I will say it again for everybody to hear. I would leave my wife in a heartbeat before I will put my children through what I went through. But a lot of you either know or are involved in that type of situation. That's abuse. I'm sorry. Now, does it escalate to the point where the kid should be removed from home? I'm not saying that, because there is different forms. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that abuse stays with a child. Stays with a child for their entire life. Kids do not grow up and forget that they were abused, okay? You never heard somebody, when you had a conversation with them at a bar, say, man, I used to be an abused child. I can't remember what happened or anything like that. It was so long ago. It was one night on a Friday when I was hanging. No, it stays with them for their entire life. They remember it. They know it. They know it. You know, letting bad elements into a home. Abuse. What's a bad element? Well, bad element might be a guy that comes over and gives you pills. Or a girl that comes by the house, or a group of people that come by the house and want to drink and be rowdy till 3 in the morning while the kid's trying to sleep. That might be a bad element. A guy that's multiple times getting arrested or carries a gun, wants to hang out at your house, might be a bad element. You could be wrong, I got friends like that, but I don't want them in the house with my kids. What you do on your own time is fine. I hang out with a lot of drug dealers when I go back to New Jersey. So what? But I would never let them get in the car with my children. And for those of you out there saying, well, that's just as bad, let me explain something to you. Grown people make grown decisions. If a 40-year-old man wants to hang out with somebody who's been arrested for drug dealing, so what? But it is a problem if he's bringing a 9-year-old kid in the car with drugs. That's a problem. Okay? And what happens is we see these people, and we have neighbors. I don't now, but in the past have had neighbors, or you've had friends, that you see this type of activity going on. They got kids. And if it was anybody else, you'd be talking shit. Or maybe you do talk shit. But you allow it to go on because you don't see it as abuse. Because here's what you say, right? This is how people in society today excuse it. Again, if the kid was getting slapped, you'd say it was abuse. But they've got 30 people hanging over the house. There's alcohol. There's drinking. There's this to that. The kid can't sleep. It's rowdy. Got known criminals in the house. And here's what you say, okay? They hang out with scumbags. Okay, that's fine. I don't know if I'd call everyone who's ever, you know, had that type of lifestyle a scumbag because I don't agree with that. But I do know it's not what I want around my children. It's not what I want my kids to see. Okay, you letting them run the guy, or you're not letting them, but they're running the goddamn house like it's a college fraternity. Think back to when some of you were in college, or if you didn't go to college, even high school. Think about some of those wild ass parties. Would you take your kid to those? If you wouldn't, then what the hell would, why? Because it would be neglect. It would be abuse. That's what it is. Okay? The system doesn't work. You know how many houses out here have kids with that type of life? Social workers have been in the house and they don't do a damn thing. House is filthy. Clothes are filthy. Kids aren't fed. But they didn't hit them, so who cares? It's still abuse. And they send some lady to your house from child services that looks like she's trying out for the part of Mary Poppins, and she shows up to the house, right? All you're waiting for her to do is whip out a fucking umbrella and float away because she ain't doing nothing else. And they call her a social worker. And if I sound heated, I am. Because when I see all these cases on the media and I see people getting riled up, and you should, but then I think about it. I know some of my listeners know the same people I know. Have never picked up the phone to call child services once. And some of those parents might forget the kid in the car. I don't think that guy forgot the kid in the car. Some of those parents might forget the kid in the car. You wouldn't feel so good then. And then there's abandonment. Another form of abuse. Now, abandonment is not only always in the physical sense. Just because you live in a house does not mean that you have not abandoned your children. Emotional support is the most important thing a child's ever going to get. To know that mom and dad or mom and dad care. And a lot of parents out there have kids and really don't deserve the title that they have. Because their kid comes home from school, they couldn't tell you what the homework is. They couldn't tell you anything. Till there's people around, then they're jumping up and down, posting pictures on Facebook. Right? Well, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. And we look here in the United States, and we're going to get into the system because this is about to get deep. But I wanted to touch on and make you understand and talk about the fact that this is not all about physical abuse. There are a lot of elements that go into child abuse. And usually physical abuse goes with some of these. But unfortunately, the system doesn't label it as such. Folks, in 2012, there were 3.3 million abuse reports in the United States. CNN reported that. 400,000 of those children were placed in foster care. And 60,000 were left there permanently. That means 340,000 were returned to the same people that abused them the first time. Now, there is no data to track this, but how much you want to bet the majority of those people didn't stop abusing? When we come back, we're going to talk about the system because that leads right into it. Folks, we got a big problem here in the United States. And I think you're going to understand that even more when we get done with this next segment. We'll talk about the system right after this. I promise you, you will not be disappointed.
my ass why, but you blame it on the parents when they barely get by. Quarter minutes is the belly notice in my eye. Look up so on every corner and you wonder why we die. Drugs taking damage, but you lock away the dealer and give them more time than you just a pedophilia. Tension winds up, more gangs and more killers. Leave the innocent people to fight cause y'all don't care. No wonder why these young men beat up on their women. Why they get a job cause these are convicted felons. Back to the drug war, babies having babies. You just a baby yourself, you supposed to raise a lady. Fathers walk out, no more commitment and dedication. As a citizen, seeks for prom to graduation. Little ones to take it out, struggle to put food in their mouth. Keep sitting in your white house, put your children's future planned out. Get a little nervous when we knocking on the door. Makes me believe they don't love us anymore. So I just had to make it sing. I think it's time we build our voices up, cause it just keep passing us. Yeah, we never make a fuss, and the crooked ones never straighten up the statements that I'm making up.
And we're back live here on Make You Think Radio, and we're talking about a very deep subject tonight, and that is child abuse. Child abuse is a big problem here in the United States, and I'm sure it's a big problem worldwide, but I'm dealing here in America. And in a country with as much resources as we have, much technology, and as many laws, there needs to be more done to protect our children. And a lot of it starts with us. But let's talk about the system that's in place. And primarily, let's talk about foster care. Now, the idea of foster care is a great one, right? Child's being abused. Child needs a good home. You place them with people who really want a child. And if that's the way it works, folks, that would be a great thing. I would be an advocate for it. And first of all, let me say this. There are a lot of good foster parents out there. So what I'm about to break down here in the system is not about them. Because we need them. We need more of them. Okay? Foster parents should be paid a hell of a lot more than they are. Okay? Before one basketball player gets $20 million, we should find a way to divide that up for foster kids. Parents. But folks, the facts are the facts. And there's a lot of bad apples in the bunch. I've had my own experiences with DIFAS. Had a roly-poly looking social worker named Doreen. And I'm going to reveal her last name when we do the show about my mom. but trust me, she looked like an elf. This woman ignored obvious signs of neglect not only to my mother, but the kids numerous times, made up fictitious lies about me that were later proven false. I'm not the only person. I've had other people come forward and tell me their stories. How many times have we turned on the news, seen that child services was called dozens of times, but did nothing? Well, the problem with foster care is, and I'll tell you what the big problem is, that a lot of the foster parents shouldn't be foster parents, okay? The other problem is that good parents don't keep the kids. Kids are bounced around from place to place. It's like they're trading them in at a pawn shop. Kids, again, need stabilization, love, security. They need to feel those things to grow up healthy. I don't think most people would ever disagree with that, right? It's common sense. But the foster care system does not provide that. In fact, statistics, what we do have, because we don't have a database to track abuse in foster homes, which is freaking amazing. I can tell you, if Alyssa Milano could tell you how many puppies were left in the cold. But we don't have a database to track if children are abused in foster care. Okay? I don't get it. But here's what the statistics say. And a lot of this goes back to BHS. Let me just tell you, we're not done with that subject. We're doing another show on that very shortly. We will hammer that home every chance I get, because if this show is one thing, it stands for underprivileged children. White, black, gray, Mexican, I don't care. It stands for underprivileged children, because those are the voices that cannot be heard. And if you can't find the time to listen to shows like this, you are part of the problem. Dump all the ice water on your head you want. Hopefully it'll wake you up. But 71% of women that go into foster care are pregnant by the time they are 21 years old. Now I'm guessing that 71% did not find the right guy. There's probably a few great stories in there, but there's more bad than good. I'm pretty confident when I say that. Because when you're, again, you don't have stabilization, you don't have a secure environment, you don't have unconditional love, a non-combative environment, then what happens? Start looking for love in all the wrong places. Let me tell you something. Bad love is not hard to find. 71% of them are finding it by the time they are 21 years old. But keep in mind, a lot of them are in foster care until they're 18 years old. And it's a scary thing, because there's a lot of strong, beautiful, intelligent young women who never got a chance. Never got a chance. One in five foster children will end up homeless. 20%, folks. 20% of children that go from being abused to a system that's supposed to give them opportunity end up with no place to live. 71% of the females end up pregnant. Breaks your heart. It does. Think about that next time you walk past a homeless person and assume that they got there because they had a drug problem or because they didn't work. One in five of them was a child just like yours that at 18 was thrown out on the street, because that's what they do with them. They just let them go out there. Go find your way. You're 18. That's not a system for success, folks. Those numbers are not successful numbers. 71% be great if it was, if if you were talking about, you know, high school graduation rates of all, and you'd like to see it higher than that, but hey, 7 out of 10, you'd say, well, okay, 71% are pregnant, 1 in 5 are homeless. 1 in 5. At any point in time in the United States, 400,000 plus children are in foster care. The cost to the country, about $9 billion. And that's a cost that I don't look at. Because it costs money to give children a safe environment, a good environment, a structured environment. So what? Let's use that money for that. I'd much rather use it for that than some fat-ass politician or some fat-ass cop that retired when they were 45 and patrolled a one-mile town. The cost per child is about $22,500. Folks, I'll tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you this right now. That ain't enough money. It ain't enough money. You say, well, $22,000 is a lot of money, Harry. That's, you know, per kid, $9 billion. Right, I got it. I got it. I want you to think about something. Think about this very hard for a minute. In any state you want to give me that has a professional sports team, there are athletes making $25, $30 million a year. Folks, maybe it's time to start using part of those ticket sales. Maybe we need to cut some of that bullshit out and take care of what's really important. Maybe we should start using some of the revenue raised from tickets that are given out by police. Maybe instead of all these dog commercials with Sarah McLachlan singing Lassie, maybe instead of picketing and chasing Michael Vick, we should be more worried about the Casey Anthony's of the world. And I don't care if she got found not guilty. The bitch ought to be chained and thrown in a lake. Because if she didn't kill her daughter, I'll tell you what she did do. She would have been left in a swamp. And lied.
But that's a different topic.
But here is the most heartbreaking statistic, in my opinion. You may differ. You may find some of the other statistics worse. But the most heartbreaking statistic for me. Now, I have a daughter who's 4 years old, getting ready to start school on Monday, which, by the way, I'm very proud of you, Jada. Gavin, I'm extremely proud of you. Another year of straight-A report cards. I'll take it. 6.5 years old, to be exact, 6.6. 6.5 years old, the average age, median age, for a child in foster care. Folks, do you remember when you were 6.5 years old, what you were doing? Kindergarten, first grade, whatever it was. And imagine if you had been bounced around from home to home, didn't see your parents, maybe abused, maybe you weren't, didn't really know what was going on, had Mary Poppins showing up once in a while. Imagine what your life be like today. Because I just think about how bad it was at my house, and I still think it's better than that. 6.5 years old. How scared that child must be in foster care. Something wrong, man. I mean, and I'm not blaming the system for that part, because that tells me that, that a lot of young kids in this country are being abused and a lot of parents need to be shot. Now, there's a lot of good parents who lose their kids, too, for no other reason than being poor. One story that comes to mind, I remember in East Brunswick, New Jersey a while back, couldn't tell you the year, I'd be lying if I said I could. Man had lost everything. They were living in, I believe it was the mobile home that he had or a van. But whatever it was, you take his son to school, pick him up, no abuse, anything like that. Teacher reported that the child was living in those conditions. They pulled the man over. They took his child. Don't know if the man ever got his child back, and I'll tell you, we need to follow up on that. Because one thing we're going to start doing is adding guests on this show very shortly, like I told you, probably around September. I'd love to talk to that man, but folks, here's the problem, part of the problem with the system, is that it doesn't provide help for good parents with no means, okay? It just takes a child, or the alternative is to put a parent on welfare, which eventually, and I hate to say it, starts to fall into a lot of these categories, whether it's emotional neglect, bad elements, whatever it may be, and there is no in-between. You know, we're going to talk about some of the things I'd like to see us do going forward, but, you know, at some point there has to be some solution other than just yanking a kid up and bouncing them house to house. Parents poor, that's not a reason to lose a child. You know, if you can't afford to keep the lights on because you can't find a decent paying job, that doesn't mean that you're neglectful. Okay? And the scary thing about foster care and the perception is that we have this perception that it's really just a black problem, or, you know, it's not. But the reality is, okay, that 41% of children in foster care are white, only 27% are black. Got quiet for a minute, didn't it? I'm sure it did. A lot of Facebook activists right now looking to kill that statistic. It's a fact, fellas. The doctor is in. And kids have nowhere to turn. They have nowhere to turn. Folks, a child needs to know that they can go to a teacher or a police officer if they don't have a family structure that has someone to talk to in it. But I can remember when I went to school, and I'd show up to school dirty. I'd show up to school sitting at the end of a table, true story, while everyone else ate lunch, I had nothing. You'd think they'd give it to me because my mother was too lazy to fill out the permission slip for free lunch. And a lot of the signs of abuse are very obvious. Don't tell me the teachers don't see them. Don't tell me the teacher didn't see 12-year-old Harry Winkhoop sitting there in the same clothes, not eating, hair uncombed, mother not showing up, missing days of school. You didn't miss all that. But there were no physical signs, and that's all that mattered. Because we didn't look at that as abuse. We still don't. We use different words, neglect, bad parenting. It's abuse. It's abuse. And when a child has nowhere to turn, the world becomes a lot scarier. Because all of a sudden, it's bad love or no love. And bad love will always win out. You can believe that. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Make You Think Radio. Tonight we are talking about child abuse and the fact that it is too often ignored. Ignored by the system, ignored by people. And one of the major reasons it's ignored is because we only look at physical abuse. We don't call other forms of abuse what they need to be called. And we call sexual abuse, but we don't call other forms of abuse what they need to be called. We don't call child services. We don't get involved. Teachers look the other way. Police come to the house. I can't tell you how many times the police came to the house of my aunt where my cousins were living. Abuse was painfully obvious. I cannot tell you how many times they came there before something was finally done. Because we have a system that's broken. I went over some statistics before I went to break. And we talked about how 71% of girls raised in foster care end up pregnant by the time they're 21. You know, folks, there is a direct correlation, if you haven't figured it out by now, to all this with with BHS. Okay? A lot of this goes away when you have family structure, when you have values, when you have the dad in the home. And that's certainly not to say that this is a woman problem. That's not what I mean. But in many of these instances, they're single-family homes, okay, or, you know, where the abuse is going on, not so much foster care. I don't know the statistic on that. But where the abuse is going on, okay, where it's the emotional, the physical, whatever it may be, their mother's just like the mom I had, okay? Their mother's just like the mom that I had. She's depressed. She's upset. She doesn't know how to cope with things. Every day it's getting worse. Daddy's not coming home. You're the reason. Sound like I know the script, folks? I know the script, believe me. I've lived it. I've seen the movie. Most of the endings are not like mine. Most of them don't end on the radio or writing a book or on the business. Hate to say it. Okay? One of the things, if I'm most proud of myself, it's for not becoming a statistic. You know, I tell my wife all the time, as hard as she may have it as a stay-at-home mom, trust me, don't make the mistake of complaining to a single mom. But back to reality, okay? No place for kids to turn. 52% of children who end up in foster care, okay, will eventually get back to their parents. 20% end up being adopted. Now, let's stop right there. If, and let's assume that you have children in the right environment with foster care, that you have good foster parents that are raising these kids and the parents are abusive, they've been removed for a reason, right? How is that number not higher? How is the number not higher? And we know what it is. It's because in most cases, the kids don't get to stay in one home long enough. They get moved around. Adoption is a wonderful thing. Because when it's the right people. Because it puts people who are willing to love a child that they didn't even create like their own with a child that needs that love. And there's a number of reasons for adoption. And we're going to do a show on that. And I have a story about that as well. I know I have a lot of stories. I hate to admit it, but I've lived a lot of it, folks. What do you want me to tell you? It's my life. It's what got me here. You know, I was having this talk with my wife earlier today, and I told her. And I mean this, okay? I'm me. Blunt, to the point, but you can't have a better advocate on this side of the microphone than what you have in Harry. For all you people out there that have been through abuse or neglect or battery or whatever it may be. Now, getting back to the point, though, how is that number not higher? Because it only means one of two things. Because all those parents can't all of a sudden be having a revelation. Now, I'm all for putting the kid back with the parents if you can do that. That's the perfect thing. Of course. Parents straightens up, yes. But only 20%, that's a shocking number to me. Now, reasons vary as to why children get removed. Absolutely. Okay, because there's so many forms of abuse. But the most or the highest amounts are physical abuse, 28%, sexual abuse, 14%, and abandonment. And when they say abandonment, they're talking about just leaving the child. They're not talking about emotional abandonment like I was talking about as a form of abuse. They're talking about someone just leaving the kid. Leaving the kid and they're out. What a scumbag you have to be to do that. Unless you're leaving them because you couldn't take care of them with church. I'm talking about, I guess I shouldn't say it because there are cases where people are leaving them with the hospitals leaving. I'm thinking of someone just leaving a kid in an apartment and not coming back. So I take that back because that statistic probably is more reflective of that. I hope so. But the reasons can vary. I mean, there's so many reasons that children are moved. You know, let's take the kid, the unfortunate incident of a little boy who was killed by the scumbag who left him in a car seat, right? You know, who's to say what went on? But now you hear all these reports about, you know, people say this, they say that, blah, 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 but nothing to reflect abuse. Nothing that could have led social services to think that something like that would happen on that day. Folks, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. You really don't. You know, I've heard this a long time ago. Just when you think you've got it figured out, you don't know anything. But the biggest two problems with this system are, number one, you have no data to track it. You have no ability to track abuse in foster care. You cannot do it. The second thing is, though, and the thing that I want to take a minute and talk about, is the people who are appointed, teachers, police, getting involved. You know, I look at my situation. Those people could have made a huge difference in my life if they would have got involved early on. I know they could have made a big difference in some of my relatives' lives. And I know that the signs were there, but they didn't do anything about it. And we're going to take a break in a minute because we're going to get into very heavily what needs to be done. And I'm going to tell you something. It starts with them. Because I'll let the cat out of the bag right now. One of the first things I'd want to do, it would be called a duty to act. It wouldn't just be based on physical abuse. Right now you have this duty to call if you suspect child abuse. And it's basically based on physical abuse, sexual abuse. But it needs to go deeper than that, folks. It needs to go deeper than that. Because I can tell you right now, as much as I love my mother and what happened, okay, 27 years ago, at the very least, she should have been answering some heavy questions and had to straighten up her act. And day after day, nobody did anything. Same thing with my cousins after me. Same thing. Same thing with my cousins during the time when I was living with my mom and they were living with theirs. Day after day. You know, we need to understand something. We need to quit going and trying to arrest a parent who disciplines their kid because that's not abuse. And I want to clarify something. Physical abuse is not smacking your kid on the butt, okay? Let me tell you something. When I grew up, with my generation, when we grew up, the reason why they have a lot more respect for adults now is because the threat of getting the ass whooping will go a long way. That's not the type of abuse I'm talking about, and we all know that. But there needs to be a duty put on these police officers and on these teachers. And the first thing I'm going to tell you, folks, is you need to make the call. Make the call. If you're constantly debating whether you should call, that's because you know in your heart of hearts you should. If you suspect or you're seeing or you have a feeling that it's child abuse, that something's not right, it's the worst you could be is wrong. And I'm not telling you that's not a big thing because, listen, you know, having the police or having child services show up at your door if your parent has done nothing wrong, but let's be honest about something, folks. Would you be calling if it wasn't pretty obvious? would you be calling if it was not pretty obvious? You know, if you're friends with somebody who's not doing the right thing, and you know it in your heart of hearts, neighbors, relatives, folks, the child has to come first. The child has to come first. If you're debating whether you should make the call, and you're constantly going back and forth with it, it's because you know you should. Pick up the phone and do the right thing. You would call the police if you saw a man hit a woman, and you should. You would call the police if someone was standing in front of you dealing drugs. Right? If the music was too loud, if the dog was barking. I hope each and every one of you, when you get off the phone tonight that's been debating about calling about that neighbor or that person that you know, finally picks up the phone. You may be making the biggest difference, and you don't even realize it yet. There's got to be a database also for abuse in foster care. You got to be able to track it. We got to see the numbers. We need to know if where we're sending children is as bad or worse than the environment that we're taking them from. Because the idea is to put them in abuse-free environment, because we're moving them from an abusive environment, right? I don't think anyone would disagree with that. You need to make the call. And we need to have a database. The database needs to be pretty clear-cut. Number of incidents. Be able to track the parents. Not have to worry about it or have to make a judgment call. We need to have this stuff at our fingertips. Social services needs to have it at their fingertips. People need to know that when children are being placed in a system that the taxpayers are paying for, that that system is going to be there to protect and take care of the very children that it's sworn to. Sounds pretty simple to me. We'll be back right after this. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio, talking about child abuse and the fact that it does not get nearly enough attention and not nearly enough people get involved. And I've addressed some of those reasons tonight. And I firmly believe that one of the biggest reasons is because we do not classify abuse as abuse unless it's physical or unless it's there are marks. The fact of the matter is, and has always been, that abuse is so much more than that. So much more than that. Tonight we're talking about a system that needs to be fixed. Okay? We need to get ourselves into the frame of mind of paying people big money that make a difference in society. Okay? I know we have the Hollywood and the athlete syndrome, but foster parents are very important. When at any given time you have over 400,000 kids that are relying on these people, we need high quality with good pay. This needs to become a full-time job. Now, I don't want Octomom or a woman with 6 kids and 10 kids and 12 kids and 14 kids by 9 different baby daddy. No, no, no. I want someone like the woman that stays home with my kids, that'll get up with a migraine to make sure they have breakfast. Those people, I want men like me that are going to go out of their way to be at every event, that are going to reaffirm to their children constantly how much they love them. Okay? And what I want to hear and what I want to see is those people be paid for what they're doing. Because in reality, folks, they are the only thing standing between that child becoming a statistic in the good or the bad column. It takes a lot of time and effort. I cannot even imagine the amount of effort and time it must take to go into trying to reach and rationalize with a child that has just come from an abusive home, that's been removed from everything they know. It's got to be damn near impossible. And I know it's a full-time job. I know it's a full-time job. So we need to pay them. Pay them so that they can afford to do that. Pay them so that they can afford to do that. After that, we need dedicated social workers and staff that can devote the time to do spot checks, that can make sure that the children are getting everything they're supposed to. Start off by doing monthly surprise visits. Never know when they're coming. Never know when they're coming. Needs to happen. I mean, I lived in some neighborhoods where kids were DIFAS or child services, whatever you call them, were involved. You never saw them. You pick up the paper, you read stories all the time. Child service hasn't been there in forever. Numerous complaints, nobody did anything about it. That shit needs to stop. There has got to be, and I mean got to be, dedicated full-time foster parents that are paid good wages to do so, and dedicated full-time social workers to make sure that those kids are not slipping through the cracks. Because just because you removed them from one place doesn't mean that the next place is guaranteed to be any better, or that those kids don't have needs beyond what maybe that foster parent can do. It's crazy. The things that we'll spend money on in this country, but only $22,000 a year on a child whose future is at stake? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. I think it's very obvious that when a child's in foster care, they are at a significant disadvantage when it comes to opportunity in life. What I'd like to see is every state institute a certain amount of scholarships, or not a certain amount, full ride scholarships to any foster child that graduates high school to the college of their choice. Forget your acceptance where you try to figure out if little Abby's father used to bang Professor Joanne. Screw that. And what we do is we give them full scholarships to go to school. They should not be denied the opportunity to do the things that kids that come from a safe, decent environment have. It is never, ever, ever a child's fault when the parents are screw-ups. Never. And they should never be penalized as such. If you understand that, then that should happen. Okay? We give somebody who's 6'5" that can swim a basketball free ride full scholarships. University has no say. Kid goes to school where they want. If the university can't accept foster kids, they can't accept no kids, and that's not a university that's going to make this nation better anyway. Shut their ass down. There also needs to be job programs. And I'm not talking about these job programs that teach kids how to clean toilets or wipe down mufflers. I am talking about jobs, programs that put kids to work right out of the universities in jobs in the field that they went for. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It's not that hard. You take old corporate America and you tell them, listen, you want to keep having these laws written the way they're being written, all these tax breaks and stuff, you're going to have to give back, man. See, the answers, folks, are that simple here in this country. We're just not doing it because we've gotten away from the fact we have this belief in our head of, well, it's this and that and free enterprise. No, 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 no. It was never meant to be so damn corrupt and politically correct. There is a thing as moral fiber and what's right and wrong. Okay? Show me on the planet Earth where it makes moral sense to you or common sense for a guy who grows up with two great parents, goes to college of his choice, goes to college, plays football, to have a free scholarship. And a kid that's abused, removed from their parents, can't afford to go. Makes no damn sense. But yet he wants to be a doctor. Makes no damn sense. Then, if they complete college and the job program, we're going to give them the security deposit or the down payment as a loan for their first home. Because what we're trying to do is break the cycle, right? Well, one of the best ways to break the cycle is to give them what they need to break the damn thing. Now, what we could also do, if you don't want to give them money, okay, is to take the job program, and if they complete the job program and do the right thing, that we work it out so that they start with an approved loan, okay? They have the approved loan with no interest. They say, okay, well, now you're making the banks. Look, I don't give a damn, okay? Those banks got into their own messes because they were breaking rules to make more money. Don't penalize foster kids. Give them a chance. Every kid grows up. we're taught that they want to get it, that they need to get a job, get an education, get a home, get out on their own, be independent. Well, how do you expect them to do that if you put them behind the eight ball so damn far that they can't see in front of them? Now, you need to try and keep the family involved. You need to try to keep the family involved. And I know sometimes that's not possible. Okay? Sometimes that's out of control. But where it is possible, first of all, siblings should never be broken up. There should never be a situation where you remove two brothers or a brother and a sister or two sisters or whatever from a home and they're separated and don't see each other. You talk about breaking someone's spirit and their back. No, you keep them kids together. You do whatever you have to do. You keep those kids together. Period. End of story. I don't even want to hear it. You open up 24-hour counseling centers that are also help hotlines. So if these kids are in danger or there's issues, they have someone to call 24/7, and I want them in every county in every state. And don't tell me you can't do it, because you got a McDonald's on every corner. We can do it. Might mean a little bit less in a trough, but we can do it. And then we need to make it one family goals. When we match children with a foster family, and it's working for all parties involved, there is no such thing as moving around. We need to have a steady, secure environment for these children to go to. Because the whole idea of foster care is to give them the chance to have stability, to get out of abuse. And if you're not giving them these simple things, as well as a thing with a, as well as a programs with a chance for a future, you are not giving them what they need. Now, the last part of this equation is that it's time to quit worrying about kids in Africa, kids in Mexico, kids. You folks, you've got 400,000 kids at any given time here that need that help. I see commercials every single night. Breaks my heart. Haiti had an earthquake. Everyone in Hollywood got on a plane and went there. Concerts, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And we all know what the reason is, because that's the cool thing to do at the time. Because I've always said, adults in America now suffer from the high school syndrome. Don't leave me out of the party. I'm going to do it too. But when you get down to the basics, the kids in Haiti aren't going to define the future of America. Okay? It's going to sound really horrible what I'm about to say. America built itself. Those countries need to learn how. But what we need to do, regardless of whether you agree with me there or not, how can you justify making sure that kids in other countries eat and have shelter, and then not do it right here? Okay, folks, think about it. If your child was starving, and a child across the street was starving, and you only had enough food to feed one, and I don't start with, oh, well, I'd divide it in half. Try dividing a pea in half. But if you only had enough food to feed one, you would feed yours. I hope. Although in America with political correctness, I might be saying too much there. But no, of course not. Of course, rather. You would feed your own. There's no way in hell you wouldn't. But you don't see one commercial. You don't see anything. Anything. For American children. And I can't go into it right now. But I'm hoping by the end of next month to be able to launch a surprise that's been in the works for a long time. for a long time to benefit kids right here at home. I can't get into it this minute because, unfortunately, it's not completely finalized. But, folks, make no mistake about this. I don't just say stuff. I do my best to back it up. Okay? And I wouldn't ask people to do anything less than what I would do. But what I will tell you is this. At some point, we have to recognize that we have a problem here in America, that there are a lot of children slipping through the cracks into a system that was built to protect them, and is not to knock the system, but there are some things that need to be fixed. There are some things that need to be fixed. And the only way you're going to fix that is with bold solutions. Okay, bold solutions. And the willingness to follow through. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're reaching a critical, critical point in this nation's history. Because if we keep ignoring our youth, one day when we're old, and they're the people in charge, they might just be ignoring you. You think about that for a minute. We'll be back with closing thoughts. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio. It is that point in the evening where we're going to deal with our closing thoughts. Tonight's topic is a very touchy one and is one that I don't take lightly. I've been involved in an abusive home. I've had a lot of family members involved in abusive homes. I've had a lot of friends. A lot of people that I've known over the years that have been involved in abusive homes. And I have to tell you something. And that is that there's one common theme in all of this. That the abuse never stops until somebody gets involved. Or until somebody gets hurt or ends up dead. It never stops. And here's why. Anyone that would actually harm their child. I shared this story when I started the show, and I'll share it again. When I looked at my son this morning when I was leaving, I tried to envision somebody hurting him. I then tried to envision a scenario where I could ever see myself hurting him, because I wanted to feel what I would feel if somebody harmed my child. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've never harmed my child. My wife's never harmed my children. Never would. We wouldn't even think of it. Oh, I've taken away Minecraft. but never. Gone without to make sure they could have. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. Here's what I know. If somebody cannot have that feeling and hurt their child, that person is beyond help. That person is not going to wake up one morning and decide what they're doing is wrong. Because, folks, a normal person, when you see your child cry, even when you're right, when you've grounded them, you have to turn away sometimes because it makes you tear up. But to willfully hurt a child, I'm going to tell you something, man. There is nothing on this earth I despise more than child abusers, child molesters. I am pro-child 1,000,000%, period, end of story. But the reason why abuse continues is because far too many people drive past the house that they know they should be calling on and put it off just one more day. Put it off just one more day. And then one day you wake up and you open up the paper, the news, you open up your front door and you realize that there is no more days coming. We can talk about the system. We can talk about the problems. We can talk about the different types of abuses. Here's the bottom line. It is time for people to get as involved with child abuse as they are with animal abuse. I'll say it again. I own dogs, have always owned dogs, would never harm a dog. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you tell me I've got to harm the dog or my child and I've got no choice, the dog's in a lot of trouble and I don't even have to think about it. Do not equate animals to children. And yes, we should be involved with animal abuse. We should lock people up and there should be harsh sentences for animal abuse. But a lot of you people have called about dogs and you know children that need you to make that call and you haven't picked up the phone yet. It's long overdue. It's past time. And it's time to quit waiting for someone else to do it. With that in mind, I hope this show makes you hug and kiss your children a little tighter and a little more tonight. Because for all you parents out there that don't abuse your children and do the right thing, you're the foundation. You have my utmost respect. And this world is better off for having you. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about domestic violence. Another touchy subject. But we're going to be talking about domestic violence. Crime, the victim, the abuser, and the punishment. Does it fit? And there might be a few surprises in there for you, because it may not be your typical show. Because sometimes the victims aren't the people that you're usually that the media shows you. But domestic violence is a big problem in this country, and it too needs to stop. Never going to wipe it out. But that's another thing people need to get involved in. Until tomorrow night, I appreciate all of you so much for listening, continuing to join me. We'll continue to grow this station. We'll continue to be a voice for people that don't have one. And the only thing I ask from you is that at the end of each night, whether you agree or disagree, at least I hope this show made you think. Talk to you tomorrow.